Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Thanksgiving. If you're just joining us, I hope it's a good one. I hope you're having a good Thanksgiving. If you're traveling, I hope we're good company in the car with you or the train or wherever you're, the plane, whatever you're, I don't know if you can get us on a plane, but I really don't know how that works. But whatever, we hope we're good company. If you are just discovering us, because usually you're at work at this time, I do want you to know we're an apostolate of lay Catholics, mostly lay Catholics. Occasionally we've got a priest around here. And you can find us at catholic.com. And our job is explain and defend the Catholic faith. That's all we do, explain and defend the Catholic faith. Catholic.com is where you can find us. And flannel panel is Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check, and I never like it when people say myself and myself.
And I.
Yeah. Like, do you notice that people say that, though? Like,
this
is
wrong.
This is a modern thing, I think.
But it's also grammatically incorrect.
Okay, maybe that's why I don't like it. The three of us are the flannel panel. I'm the host of this show and clearly the smartest member of the panel. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes, 100%.
It's a low bar.
Although you said something last hour that made zero sense at all.
But sometimes a very intelligent person
is
hard
true.
For other people to understand.
Oh, it's like, oh, I thought you were
going to say the idea behind continental
philosophy. That is not what I thought you were going to say at all. Yeah. I think you said sometimes intelligent people say completely nutty things.
No, that never happens.
Okay.
That never happens.
Yeah.
But Joe Heschmeyer, apologist, author. You can find him at shamelessjoe.com. It's Shameless Popery is his podcast.
Is that
podcast
like a thing on Shoeless Joe? Is that?
Yeah,
it
Shameless
should
Joe.
Have been.
It's a play
Shameless Joe from Casey Moe.
Is that where Shoeless Joe was from?
He's from Hannibal.
Oh, from Hannibal.
There's a musical that has that. I can't name the musical, but it ends in Yankees.
Damn Yankees.
Why do you always bring the show to a complete stop?
It's Damn Yankees. That's a very...
You can't say that.
You can say...
It has that, number, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. That's a fun musical.
I've never seen it.
Are you
never
kidding?
Seen those gosh darn Yankees.
I realized
Yankees.
The reference was completely lost on you when I said Shameless Joe from Casey Moe, but that's what I was alluding to. There's a number in that song, which I haven't seen it in years and years and years. I do not stand by anything in the musical, just in case.
My wife.
The other member of the final panel, you can talk about your wife after I introduce you. The other member of the final panel is Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, and he's giving me a look right now.
My wife, Jacqueline, whom I love, 33 years of marriage or whatever it is.
Who does not like me.
She hates me. She loves you, dearest.
No, she does not. She told me we're enemies now.
Because
I recommended the Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, that's right. That will be very hard to get
she
over.
She said, what's wrong with you? That's literally what she said to me. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I mean, her taste is, I think, notably compromised.
Because of living with Chris? Because of choosing Chris as a husband?
The one fact everyone knows about her.
All right, so go ahead. You were going to say something about
it. She loathes musicals.
She does?
Yes.
What kind of a person loves musicals?
I know,
musicals?
It's a little weird. No, she did like Les Miserables, but that's kind of, I don't know what you call that, an operetta or something?
Yeah.
But she does not like musicals. She really can't stand them.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. That's something true about my wife. So I don't think we can watch Damn Yankees together.
Even Frozen? Everyone loves Frozen.
I don't think we've seen Frozen.
Really? Darren, have any of your kids seen Frozen?
I'm pretty sure
no,
none of the Delosier kids
no.
have seen yeah. Frozen.
There's something about Frozen, though. When small people see it, they become obsessed with it. And I watched it, and I cannot figure out what it is. It's some kind of Disney chemical
You'll
in there.
Never get those 2 hours back.
But I can't tell. But there's something about Frozen that just it hypnotizes them. And that's all they want to do. It's like that song. I don't want to say it because people are in the car with their kids, and then they'll...
Don't
baby something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the thing? Not
the one about a shark.
Don't say the word, because then the kids will start singing, and then the parents are stuck listening to that for the next 3 hours on the way to grandma's house. Do 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 do. And all right. So
fortunately, I don't think they're going to recognize that version of the tune.
I don't even know if I got it right.
I was giving you a hint about
now. I want to sing it so badly. See how I used an adverb there.
I
would probably would sing it. I would sing it bad. That's true. You guys want to do another news story? Because that's what we do. We
please.
Wear flannel shirts. We talk
can
about
I
the
say
news
one more
the
thing?
World.
Can I say one
yes,
more thing about
please
gratitude?
Interrupt the show
about gratitude.
Oh, good. Let's go back to gratitude for Thanksgiving.
Well, because
yes.
it is.
Okay.
So we talked in the first hour about getting the habit of saying thank you more to God. Here's one. When you really know that you're getting good at this, when you start saying thank you to God for bad news. For bad things, because this is part of his providential plan. We know he's going to take that evil, and of course he doesn't transform it. That's not the correct theological expression. Joe can make that clear, but greater good he will draw out of it.
Yeah.
So we know this. It's hard to feel, especially when the bad thing is going on, but a greater good is going to come for it. So when we get bad news, if we can get in the habit of saying thank you for bad news, especially. It's easy to say thank you.
That's like
it's easy to say thank you for Cy Kallett because he's great. He's fun all the time.
Oh, that's the truth.
Yeah. But say thank
you. I felt a bit overwhelmed by that when we were in Assisi recently. I have never been to Assisi before.
And I bet it was great.
Oh, can I share with you? Cy and I had.
Why do you say I bet it was great?
Oh, because you guys went to Assisi without me.
Oh, we invited
but I'm
you.
Thankful, I'm thankful
you invited
for that.
You because you're like I have a new baby. I had to go home to be with the new baby and my wife, who I love. I'm putting all this in quotation marks with
the air quotes.
You're helping me yeah. greatly.
I
did the right thing, Joe.
That day you and I went to Assisi, I will never forget. And
I will
course,
never.
Of course, Missy was with us, and this great Jesuit priest, Father Martin Maleski. Yeah. Just an absolute gem of a priest.
But I was overwhelmed by St. Francis because he's a very difficult person in his total abandonment to God. And so even bad things, he rejoiced
this.
In them.
He gets this.
Yeah, but I find that very hard to do. Like I did not feel comfortable in Assisi. I felt discomfited
good.
By the saint.
That's what that actually is what that's what St. Francis wanted you to do when you were there. Right. My friends, if you want to get your imaginations around this, pick up a little volume that was assembled within 5,200 years of Francis's death called The Little Flowers of St. Francis. I highly recommend these stories, and you will understand exactly what I'm talking about saying thank you for bad news.
I agree with you that is a habit to cultivate, but it's very hard.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Well, you're making me feel down.
I'm not saying I'm good at this. Or that
the Jesuit martyrs in England, when they were condemned to death, responded by bursting out into the Te Deum to praise God. And I remember when reading that, just being really stunned by that level of, that level of acceptance of the will of God, whatever it may be, even in these things that seem like obviously bad news, like they're going to go torture and kill you now. And they're singing about it.
I know a mom, and this is not someone I'm related to or anything. So, and found out that she had miscarried a child, and she said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Yeah. Blessed be the." And she was crying when she said it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I think that is a kind of faith and love of the Lord and trust in His plan that, frankly, I feel. Not up to. I don't know how to say it. For someone to have that level, to be grateful to God even for horrible things and terrible, difficult things is, to me, it's about the most impressive virtue that a person could have.
Yeah, I tell you.
Let me throw out a question. How do we do that and maintain the appropriate feelings of grief and sadness and everything else? Because I think there's this is what's inspiring. It seems like she's doing it very well.
Yeah.
But I'm imagining the person listening in the car who tries this attitude and decides, I no longer have space for negative emotions. I need to just be happy about everything because Cy said to. And
no, that's not
like,
what...
How do we kind of... Right. I know that's not what you're actually saying. How do we kind of address that?
Right, because I mean, I think her feelings were of overwhelming loss and sadness, but it was a choice to praise God in that and to bless the name of the Lord even in a time of horrible loss.
I don't think anyone's in danger of not feeling sorrow or grief or
anxiety.
But people
can feel pressure not to,
not that they don't
though.
Feel it, but there can be kind of the sense that they have to suppress it and pretend they don't feel it.
And that is not at all what I'm saying or what Cy said. No, by all means, have your grief. That, by the way, is just a natural, necessary human.
But I do think in the Word of Faith movement that we talked about it last hour, the prosperity gospel, there is an enormous amount of repression of emotion because it's seen as a lack of faith. And so people are deeply, deeply emotionally and spiritually wounded by this demand that they never be mad at God, never be, sorrowful or broken or desperate, you know, desperate being different than despairing, you know, that there's a sense of you are failing if you have these emotions because your faith is so weak. That's a terrible gospel. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a different gospel.
This question that Joe puts is a very good one, and it's a we walk by faith and not by sight, and there. Catholicism is a religion for grown-ups, and there's a great deal of intellectual assent to it, and recognizing something with your intellect and assenting to it, whether you feel it or not, is essential to our faith. So, by all means, grieve, but be comforted and in knowing that God will draw greater good out of your sorrow. And maybe it's just okay. I know it. And I'm saying it, and I'm not feeling it, but I'm saying it, and perhaps that's sufficient over time.
Well, I think not feeling it and saying it is sufficient. I do think feelings are irrelevant in this. I don't know if irrelevant is the word, but like I don't think Saint Francis, when he's sleeping in a cold rain, is not feeling miserable. He's feeling miserable. What he's doing is an act of faith. In giving thanks to God.
I think there's a point, though, where some of those saints actually do get to...
What kind of ecstasy?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the case. But that's...
joy rather than just, like, pleasure.
Sure, precisely.
I mean, there's something deeper and kind of more profound.
All right, we have to take a break, but when we come back, I do want to get to more news of the world. And I'm glad we keep talking about gratitude for Thanksgiving. I really am. I'm not at all sorry that we're slow getting to some of the news, because this day of giving thanks to God, that's a great thing to talk about. But I do want to talk about Cardinal designate Pierre, who is Christoph Pierre, who is the nuncio to the United States. That is essentially an ambassador to the United States for the Pope. And saying some stuff that's driving American Catholics, particularly American bishops, nuts. And what did he say?
He's actually a cardinal now. I just checked.
Oh, I thought he was cardinal designate. I apologize. I didn't mean to demote him.
Former cardinal designate.
Former cardinal designate, now cardinal, Christoph Pierre. I just didn't know that, Joe. But thank you for clarifying it. What did he say, and what is the appropriate response to it right after this on Catholic Answers Live?
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Momcast brings you all things faith, family, and fun from a Catholic perspective. From the latest news in our community to the latest trends in our homes and the church, you can hear Catholic Momcast as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTNradio.net/podcasts today.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live at the break, discussing when you get invited to the family Thanksgiving and you're supposed to bring something. The best thing that can happen is when they assign you the drinks. You bring the drinks. It's an insult to your skill as a cook, but one well worth bearing.
Except I would never ask you to bring the drinks, because you would bring the Diet Coke.
Did I bring you wine from Australia?
You did.
Did I or did I not bring
you? You did.
And how was that wine?
I haven't had it yet. I'm going to have it tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So... yeah, I wouldn't bring Australian wine, though. I'd just bring Diet Coke.
Yeah, or as they say in Rome, Coke Zero.
Yeah.
That's a different drink.
It's a different drink, but they don't have very much. They have, in a few places, they had Diet Coke, but mostly they just have. Most of the world doesn't have Diet Coke.
When you sat down at dinner with me.
The Dutch have Diet Coke, and it's disgusting. I don't know what's wrong with the Dutch.
We went to lunch in Rome, and you ordered a Coke Zero. I just kind of covered my face, and I just met him.
I just saw you guzzling directly out of a bottle of wine while I said that. Is that what you mean by covering your face? Yeah. Sorry we didn't take you to Assisi with us, Joe.
It was a great day. It was a great day.
It was so nice not having you there.
I cannot complain.
Okay. I'm nearly 60 years old, first time I've ever been there. And there's no place in the world that I know of that is so given over to just the personalities, the stories, the lives, the influence of these two figures.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You made that point when we were there, and I had never thought about it. There is no place in the world like Assisi. It's about Francis and Claire and Brother Leo and the other
And the whole town and the whole surrounding area is about these two.
If
you go to Siena, of course, you do get a Catherine vibe.
Yeah,
but
right.
And I love her. She's very dear to me. In fact, I know her better than I know St. Francis. But
without her, it's still a city.
There's other elements. But the whole place is given over to these two. It's just it. My friends, if you've never been, don't be like me and wait till you're 58.
In the best way. I mean, I can imagine like something totally touristy.
No.
It's like 100% real. That are like Catholic tourist spots and feel like it.
This feels like
Assisi
a pilgrimage place. No.
Really have an amazing, you walk there and it's the most peaceful city I've ever been in.
I need to go back.
I did not feel peace. I was discomfited the whole time by Francis. Francis is an overwhelming figure. He's a very hard figure to deal with if you take him as he is.
Yes.
Yeah. He ain't easy to deal with.
He's not just like the guy who loves animals. He's the guy who really challenges you to look at your life and how much you've failed to live up to the model of Christ.
Yeah. Yes. Like he's like, I don't know about these crusades. Let me go over and talk to the Sultan. Like hey, Francis, how are the rest of us supposed to get into heaven if you're going to do stuff like that? But, you know.
Well, we saw his bed.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You see his bed and you're like, okay, in Rome, they have a church where they have St. Francis's pillow.
San Francesco Arripa.
And it's a rock. It's almost like a joke. He laid his head on a rock. So,
yeah.
Well, then we see his bed in Assisi. And it's a rock.
It's carved. And it's a carved out bit of rock.
My wife Missy says, oh, now I get the pillow. like it's a match set or something. Like, oh, yeah. Clearly this goes together. So, yeah, I don't know. I found Francis overwhelming. I'm still dealing with the repercussions of Francis. He's a tough one.
I think you're holier than I am because you got a better challenge than I did. I had Joe's sense of peace. But you're further along.
Oh, that's it.
You're further along.
I think the guy who can't take it is the one who's more spiritually advanced.
You're further along.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
I can't wait to go back and spend several days. Really, you need several days and a very good pair of shoes.
Can I give you a quote from Pope Francis that might, I don't know if this vindicates you or Cy, but he said
I choose
this.
Me. It vindicates me.
Okay. He said, this is the second witness that Francis gives us, that everyone who follows Christ receives true peace, the peace that Christ alone can give, a peace which the world cannot give. Many people, when they think of St. Francis, think of peace. Very few people, however, go deeper. What is the peace which Francis received, experienced, and lived, and which he passes on to us? It is the peace of Christ, which is born of the greatest love of all, the love of the cross. It is a peace which the risen Jesus gave to his disciples when he stood in their midst. So I think we're right to think of peace in Assisi. And I think Cy is right to go deeper than that and look at the cross.
We're gonna take a group of pilgrims there.
I want to go back.
Yep. Spend several days. You need 2 or 3 days.
And Claire is wonderful too. I don't want to.
She's great.
She's a magnificent saint.
She stands down the
Saracens.
Yeah, the Saracens.
Is the word they used in those days. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay, let's get to some of the news of the
day. You can see the little courtyard where she stands down the Saracens there at San Damiano.
Yeah, that's the thing is you're standing in these places where all these I can't talk about it anymore. I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over again, which is I can't deal with it. Here, this is from the National Catholic Reporter. Do you guys read it every day or just once a week or what? National Catholic
once
Reporter.
A month you send me a link and once every 6 months or so I click on it.
You never read the articles I send you. New Cardinal Pierre's suggestion for U.S. bishops. Always listen to the Pope. Here, let me read you a couple paragraphs of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Vatican City, September 29th, 2023. Pope Francis, ambassador to the United States, admonished Catholic bishops who claim to adhere to papal authority while at the same time openly criticizing the current pontiff. The Pope is not an idea. Some people say, I am with the Pope, but not with this one. And they are mistaken. The Pope is a real person, said Cardinal Christophe Pierre. When the Lord chose Peter, he didn't choose an idea. He chose Peter. And he said, I choose you, and I will build my church on you. I do not think that theology, this is me talking now, makes any sense at all. So I'm supposed to say Pope Alexander was a great guy? Is that what I'm supposed to say now?
Are we talking about Alexander?
I would like to see it actually articulated as a positive principle rather than arguing against the kind of extreme or even caricature views. Because, yeah, obviously the person who says, I'm with the Pope and not this one, is wrong. If you say you're not with the Pope, who's actually... But can you be with the Pope and still criticize things that he...
Right, criticizing is not the same as... That's a good point. That's not the same as I'm not with the Pope. The Pope is Christ's vicar. Even when there's been bad popes, you can criticize them, but you still have to stay with Christ's vicar. That you don't get that. There's not a plan B. There's not a second choice.
Right. I mean, imagine if the conversation were about marriage and you said, well, if you critique anything your spouse does, then you'd only believe in the idea of marriage rather than your real life spouse. And it's like, no, like these are two radical extremes. Like the person who says, I believe in marriage, but not to this person. That's a problem. But the person who says, because I believe in marriage to this person, I can't criticize them. That's a problem too. I mean, Neither of those are healthy models of marriage. Neither of those are healthy models of the church.
Right. And part of why I read that is because now we have an article with Cardinal Pierre in America Magazine. Also, is that a daily read for you guys? Once a month, every couple of months? None of you ever read the things I read.
An article in America Magazine yesterday. So
did you?
I was replying to it. If you go to Shameless Popery, you'll see my reply to it.
Oh, really?
Today.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to check it out. But anyways, the America Magazine, which it's not a daily. I've never listened to Shameless Popery. I don't even know what you're talking about. No, I listened to it, Joe. So here's the deal. The cardinal who is the nuncio, which is basically the ambassador, both to the country and to the bishops of the country. It's a weird kind of job that a nuncio has. He calls Francis a man of vision, a man of prayer, a man chosen by the Holy Spirit to lead the church in this moment in history. And then he really picks on the American bishops who he says don't understand Francis. And it's a kind of condescending article, frankly. It seems like very much like he says, oh, the American bishops are struggling. They're all struggling. They don't know how to do evangelization. And he kind of implies that the Pope does know how to do evangelization, that South Americans know how to do evangelization. These poor benighted bishops in the U.S. are just struggling. I don't know. What do you make of all this?
It's difficult not to read Pierre or hear the things that he says and not conclude that he doesn't like Americans. I actually don't think he likes being here. I'm not.
Yeah, no, I'm
frankly,
I
said,
I'm
not
that's
kidding.
Perfectly fair. He seems very dismissive, of Americans.
I don't think he likes Americans, and I don't know. It's hard to even talk about this without saying some sort of a stereotype. I don't know. Maybe he's. Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. There's that great scene in the beginning of The King and I, where Anna shows up in Siam with her son Louis, and there's the prime minister who shows them to their rooms, and it's a violation of her contract. She was supposed to have a separate house to live in, I think. But anyway. Louis says to his mom, I don't like that guy. And referring to the prime minister, and the prime minister, I forget what his name is. He says, well, when you're in a foreign country, it's best you like everyone until you leave.
Yeah.
And right. I kind of want to.
Yeah, that's a good advice for the nuncio to the United States.
I'd like to invite the nuncio to come hang out. Actually, Cardinal Pierre, I know you're listening to Catholic Answers Live. You're a regular listener. why don't you come out, hang out with us for a week? And you can explain to us what is wrong with Americans, and we can tell you where you're right and where you're wrong. Because there are some things that are wrong with Americans.
Of course, legitimate criticism is. But this goes beyond legitimate criticism. This is a kind of condescending attitude.
It does seem very condescending. And of course, most recently in Baltimore at the USCCB, he scolded the American bishops, and he cited. In fact, you remember the name of this
Aparecida.
Yeah, I don't even know what it means.
It's a town. It's where they had the conference.
Oh, it's where they had the meeting. Okay, yeah. Thank you. And he says, this is what you need to be practicing. And then, of course, our friends at the Pillar show the data on the condition of the church in Latin America, and it's a total train wreck. So this Aparecida thing was a total failure, Your Eminence.
Right. But he's so excited about it that he just thinks nobody gets it, how great this is. And you want to say, how's it going, though? Like, how's it going? Like, in a measure, we know things by their fruits. How are the fruits of this thing?
Well, may I say, here in America, we have a phenomenon that they do not have in France. And I know this because a French bishop has told
Catholicism?
Me this.
Catholicism? Well, sorry. Sorry about that, France. Tell me what we have in America that they don't have in France when we come back. Perfect tease.
Thank you.
There are many wonderful Catholics in France. It was just a little
especially
joke.
The ones
no,
doing,
there really are wonderful Catholics
doing
in France.
The Chartres pilgrimage.
We will take a quick break and be right back with more from the Nuncio on Catholic Answers Live. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus's ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Enjoy the best of the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow. We'll share some of our favorite conversations from the past year and get you ready for the Feast of Christ the King this weekend. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Thanksgiving. It's a flannel panel for Thanksgiving. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers, and me, Cy Kellett, your host. Right now, the news that we are, because, you know, flannel panel, news of the world from a Catholic perspective, we're talking about Cardinal Pierre, who does not seem to be making any friends in the United States.
He's going to come out here and we're going to go surfing.
You think so? I wish he would come and visit with us, but I don't know. We're backwards American, so maybe that would... I'm sorry. I don't mean to be bitter, but there are a lot of people who are bitter at the Cardinal because he made some comments at the meeting of Catholic bishops that were taken as offensive by many people, many among the U.S. bishops themselves. He did this interview in America Magazine, and I'm actually quite grateful to America Magazine, as I often am, for their reporting on this, because how else are you going to know if you don't read these interviews? And the stuff just sounds... condescending and patronizing to American bishops. And I'm not saying I'm I don't want to be the great defender of bishops. I haven't always had good experiences with them. They're a mixed bag as far as I'm concerned, but so is the rest of the human race.
You know, and I don't want to be the great defender of America either, and I've certainly been critical of our politics and our political history and the things that we value and the things that we don't. But I will tell you there is something, and we talked about this before the break, there's something that we have here in America that they don't have in France or frankly in Europe, at least to the degree that we have it. And that is a vibrant and widespread and deep activity on the part of the laity in the apostolate. When I talk to foreign priests or foreign bishops, I think of our friend Bishop Dominic Ray from Fréjus-Toulon, and they learn about Catholic Answers, the first thing they say is, what priest started that? Or what bishop started that? And the answer is none. A layman started it, and it's run by laymen, and it's staffed.
A lawyer even.
Yeah, right.
Worse than a layman.
And it's staffed by laymen. And Catholic Answers is one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lay-run apostolates across this country. And that is a uniquely American thing. And by the way, I think in the very good sense, it's entrepreneurial, which is a French word.
Yeah,
entrepreneur.
So Cardinal Pierre probably will recognize that word.
Yeah. So, but this kind of activity by laity in the apostolate, working in the vineyard to bring souls to Jesus Christ by laymen, this is a uniquely American thing.
Well, it's certainly not European.
It seems like it's called for by the Second Vatican Council.
100%, Joe. 100%.
I think you will find it in other places. I do think like the Philippines,
for example.
I'm
not saying it does not exist. I'm saying to the degree that it exists in America, I don't think we find it anyplace else. And American Catholics have led the way in this respect. They have.
Well, let me read you a couple paragraphs of what the Cardinal Christophe Pierre, not making any friends in the U.S. in the last few weeks, and this is part of what he said in the interview with American Magazine. This is especially true in the United States, where we have a very organized church which has worked beautifully for many years, Cardinal Pierre said. Over 200 years, we have built fantastic church schools, hospitals, parishes, and churches, but almost nobody comes to church anymore. What? What is he saying? That is not true. So Pope Francis said, get out of the church, but we still remain in the church. Why? I went to Sunday morning mass in Rome at the Gesù. There were fewer than 40 people in the church. One of the grandest churches in the world.
The headquarters
Europe is not going to church. In the United States, there's people at mass at my parish every Sunday. It's not as many as I would like, but who is this man saying nobody comes to American churches anymore?
Or, by the way, having babies. Catholics in America are having babies. They're not having babies in France.
No. Well, a very small group of...
My guess is that Cardinal Pierre doesn't like that small group.
Yeah, right. There's a kind of a conservative Catholicism that's growing in France, where the rest of the Catholicism is dying.
Tied to the Latin Mass.
Let me continue with what the good Cardinal had to say. Pope Francis said, I want a missionary church. I want a church of the poor that goes out to the poor. But the cardinal recalled when he arrived in the United States as nuncio in 2016, he was shocked to hear some in the church laugh at that and dismiss it as Bergoglio's idea. He insisted, the reality is that behind the vision of the Pope, there is a parricida. Bergoglio is not the inventor of this approach. The Holy Spirit inspired this synodal approach at a parricida. First of all, let me just say this. The Catholic Church in the United States is greatly flawed, but it is caring for the poor, certainly in very limited ways. But the Catholic Church in the United States has soup kitchens, it has shelters, it has hospitals, all of which are still functioning, and many of which are being staffed and cared for by the laity. The St. Vincent de Paul Society, much more vibrant in the United States than in Europe. And what is this cardinal talking about?
So I want to give a couple numbers to sort of back this up. Now, this is from 2018, but this is Pew Research, and they're looking globally at trends. And so this is not just Catholics. This is across religion, but it points to a national culture, which is what we're kind of discussing. Weekly worship attendance in France, 12%. In the U.S., 36%. So literally three times higher. In terms of the number of people who say they pray daily, in France, 10% of the population. In the U.S., 55%. This is a country in which the majority of people, by their own telling anyway, pray daily. A third of them go to church every week. Now, those numbers are not nearly as good as they used to be. They're not nearly as good as they could be, but they are, if in terms of seeing this as like some uniquely American crisis, that is just actually untrue. And particularly among Christians, the percent saying religion is very important in their life. In the U.S., 68%. In France, 12%. I mean,
what is, that's the thing is, I wonder if this cardinal just brings a kind of prejudice to a situation rather than actually experiencing what's going on
there. It would be like me going to France and being like, the cheese and the wine here are terrible.
You should taste what we've got in America.
About the U.S.
Yeah, here's some craft singles.
That it is an outlier among wealthy countries in its religiosity. Now, it's true you can find less wealthy countries that are more religious. But if you look just at the so-called Western countries, if you look at the U.S., Canada, Japan, Western Europe, Australia, the U.S. is by far an outlier precisely in how religious it is in the midst of a very otherwise secular materialistic culture. And so there are really deep, very profound problems. But I don't know what point we're comparing this to. If you're saying the church is stronger in Latin America, where Catholicism had like a total dominance for 500 years.
Yeah, they got a big head start on us.
Right. But they're losing that head start.
Catholics got here in the U.S. basically the 1860s and 70s.
Yeah,
there were Catholics before that. Yes. But the great bulk of Catholics have been here 150 years. Yep. 500 years in South America with no competition. And
now that there is competition, the church in many parts of Latin America
is failing.
Failing rapidly. It is hard to, I mean, I don't want to just be like jingoistic, go U.S., because we have very deep problems.
Profound problems.
It is this question of, I guess, compared to whom? Like, if you're comparing the U.S. to the U.S. in the 1950s, we look bad. If you're comparing the U.S. to almost any country in Western Europe, we still seem to be doing all right, all things considered. And as Chris kind of alluded to, there are these signs of a lay-run kind of revival and a resurgence and a real ownership of the faith, which the Second Vatican Council called for, and that I don't really see those kind of seeds and those kind of fruits in most of the world right now. So, I think it's kind of a missed opportunity to actually know and appreciate the country to which
I think he has a hermeneutic key. I think he's got an idea of what the church is supposed to be, and it's this a Parasita conference. And so everything that doesn't look like a Parasita looks like a failure to him. He was shocked that American bishops who are running huge charities, who have parishes that actually have people in them, who are not getting any government funding, that they didn't know about his precious Parasita. And that to me is the definition of an ideologue. This little piece of the pie is the whole pie. And if you don't have the piece that I was looking for, you're failing. I think somebody needs to say to him, look, okay, we get it. You like that meeting that happened. It's very important to you. But the Holy Spirit works in a lot of ways that you don't know about. And get over yourself with your judging other people, whether they know about some meeting that happened. And by the way, Joe, How did the nuncio to the United States, the representative of the Vicar of Christ here, and Cardinal Christophe Pierre do in Mexico?
He has two first names.
Did he do better in Mexico? Like, did he make more friends in Mexico?
Pope Francis went off his remarks, as he's wont to do, during his visit to Mexico and started sharply rebuking the bishops of Mexico. And in the aftermath, there was an editorial in the Mexico City diocesan paper basically saying, where is this coming from? Has he been getting bad advice and kind of a bad depiction of Mexico from someone? And they didn't name the cardinal nuncio, but it was pretty obvious that they were saying, yeah, we've got a nuncio who has no idea what he's talking about Mexico. And then he becomes a nuncio to the United States. And the pattern seems to continue where he is the diplomat ambassador to a country he doesn't seem to
like,
know or appreciate or like. Yeah, which is, I mean, yeah, so regardless of the Christian charity aspect, just the diplomacy aspect, this is a guy who's a career diplomat.
It's bad manners.
It's just awful. It's pathetic. And And I have said for a long time, I do think that the Pope gets a lot of bad advice on the United States. I do. I think he's listening to the wrong people. And that is not a I hate Pope Francis statement. I just sometimes that happens. I think Paul VI did that to some degree. I think Paul VI got bad advice on who to make bishops here in the United States. I think the current Pope is
John Paul II, as much as I love him, he often had bad people in his ear telling him bad ideas.
But at least John Paul II had an experience of the United States. He had been here. Right. He had visited its people before he was Pope. And he knew that there was a large Polish contingent here, so he kind of liked us a little bit. But I do think the Pope is getting bad advice. But so this is a guy who gave the Pope bad advice on Mexico and then got promoted to Washington to give bad advice.
I'm not
advice.
Sure he'd use it as a promotion.
No, but
yes.
you know what I'm saying. Like he got moved to a slightly bigger country to give bad advice on. So I've thought for a long time, in other words, that Pope Francis is getting bad advice on the United States, and now I'm thinking maybe I have some clue about where that bad advice is coming from.
I think that's fair enough.
This point that Joe makes about diplomacy is a very good one. I mean, effectively the Holy See does have a Foreign Service Department, the diplomatic corps, and I sort of wonder, like, where do they get their training? You know what I mean?
Right. Like, who's training these? Like, this is a poorly trained diplomat.
Yeah.
This is not a...
And yet he's a career diplomat.
Right. But the yes. but I have to be honest with you.
He's not very good at it.
Has anyone in recent decades thought, man, you know who has a great diplomatic corps? The Vatican City State. has that been a big resounding thought around the world? You know,
I will half defend the Vatican diplomatic.
Go ahead, Joe, defend
that. The Vatican often plays this really fascinating behind the scenes
sure
role
they do.
In international conflicts.
Yeah,
and if I'm not mistaken, that includes Cardinal Christophe Pierre. I think he was important in Haiti in kind of resolving some of the international tensions there. I mean, and we're seeing something of that right now in Israel-Palestine, mm-hmm. that the church is viewed as this trusted player in the game. And so when mm-hmm. you have a good diplomat on the ground, they can play this really important yes. role that often doesn't get the attention or praise it deserves, because it necessarily has to be sort of behind the scenes.
I do want to give Cardinal Pierre some credit, because I'm reading things that he said in America Magazine, and some of them I deeply and profoundly agree with. And I think if he could speak in a way that is not just absolutely condescending to Americans, then maybe I'm sure he said, I see significant change in society. The phenomenon which was analyzed by Aparecida, by the way, did I mention that he really likes Aparecida, is real for the church in the States also, in the sense of the difficulty to transmit the faith. See, this is where I think he's making a very good point. While people are aware of that, I'm not sure that the consciousness of it is very strong. He recalled that Pope Francis had called this a major challenge for the church today and said, we have to respond to it. We can't just go to sleep and keep saying that we have the structures, because the question is, do they work? That to me is I agree 1,000,000%. Is that allowed, Joe? 1,000,000% with the cardinal on this, because the point is, we should be letting go of some of the structures that we have.
Yeah.
That we should be letting go of the universities that are no longer Catholic, the Catholic charities that in some places are very Catholic. We should keep them. Where they're not Catholic, let them go. We should be letting go of some of our schools. We should be letting go of some of our hospitals and stop thinking that these.
Is that what he means there?
I think that is exactly what he means. Yes.
Why the word structures and not institutions?
Structures
to me sounds like how the thing is organized. He doesn't like the way things are organized. What I don't know what he means by structures there. If he means what you're saying he means there, that there are Catholic institutions that are not sharing the gospel and they should just be shut down, completely agree. But I don't think that's what he means there by structures. I think structures is one of those words that
could
be quite laden with...
I was trying to end on something nice.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
I thought.
Well, when he comes out, we'll have him on the air.
Yeah,
Your Eminence, come to San Diego, and hang out at Catholic Answers for a week.
And I'm sorry I referred to you as this guy. I apologize for that. That's not a respectful way to talk.
Can
about
I say
a
one thing about America Magazine?
Okay. What?
Oh no.
I don't know if I should say yes to this, because what are you going to say?
In 1968.
Yeah.
Paul the Sixth. Yeah, we the three of us were just in Rome, and one of the things we did is we saw the excavations under St. Peter's,
right?
And where after a couple of decades, really, you know, when they take you in the Scavi, the excavations, it's sort of compressed the history of it, but the excavations go on over a period of a couple of decades, beginning before and ending after the war. It's only in 1968 that Paul the Sixth declares publicly, we have located and worthy of belief the remains of St. Peter. This was reported widely in the secular press. Guess where it was not reported?
America Magazine?
America Magazine.
Why? Why do you think they didn't?
I draw your own conclusions. America Magazine did not report it.
This is the conclusion I'm going to draw. They were not at the peak of their game as journalists that year.
They already had a full issue. Sometimes you don't know what to bump.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know what to bump. I've done it. It's not always easy to know what to bump.
I want to give a line from the Aparecida document that I think is really good. A parish community of missionary disciples needs committees that move beyond any sort of bureaucracy. Parish pastoral councils will have to be formed by missionary disciples continually concerned to reach out to all. Now, it's a little bit standard boilerplate.
Jargony.
Yeah, but it is right, nevertheless. Like, yeah, look at your parish council, and are these people that you think are authentically on fire for the gospel and are doing any work of evangelization? And right. If they're not, fire them and get new ones.
I by no means want to say that Aparecida is bad. I don't know it. I'm going to read the document over this long weekend just because this cardinal kept mentioning it. Nor do I in any way think that the
that's
cardinal...
That's his one job, is just get everyone to read the document.
He's really excited about it. Nor do I think that the cardinal is a bad person. I just think these remarks showed they don't represent a great success in the diplomacy of the cardinal. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hi, this is Deacon Dennis Lambert from the Diocese of Phoenix. When we listen to Catholic radio, we receive encouragement, strength, and most importantly, we receive the truth. Simply put, we need Catholic radio because we are and we become that which we surround ourselves with. So I encourage you to tune in, inspire up, and to wrap yourselves in the warm arms of faith, life, and love.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. News of the world from a Catholic perspective. That's what we do when we get the flannel panel together, and we're doing a flannel panel for Thanksgiving. We're very thankful for you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. Thank you for making it possible for us to get to do this job. We're not perfect. We know that, but man, we appreciate the opportunity to get to talk about Jesus and talk about his church and do our very best convey the truth about Jesus and his church. As I said, we're not perfect, but it's a great privilege to get to talk about the things we talk about, and we hope we do so in a way that, in general, gets at the truth. The news of the world includes this, and I don't know whether to read the article from The Guardian, which is a left-wing British publication, or from Crux Now, which is an American Catholic publication. But I don't know if you all know about this, but Argentina has a new president, and his name is Javier, I'm going to say Milei. Am I saying that correctly? Do you guys have any idea how to say the last name?
I don't know. Right. I apologize.
I'm going to go.
I've read a lot of stuff, but I've not actually heard his name pronounced.
I wish we had a native Spanish speaker here in the studio who
could
help us.
In the studio.
But who is currently not even paying attention to the show is talking with Siobhan.
How do you pronounce the name of the new president of Argentina?
He's like, why'd you wake me up for this? I was having a nice chat with Siobhan. Why are you making me do my job during the show? All right, so the headline from The Guardian, Argentina, the new leader is an extreme abortion and gay rights opponent. And in the Crux Now, Precedents for Argentina, the rebuke of the Pope are hard to find. So Catholics are saying this is a rebuke of the Pope in Argentina, and the secularists are saying this is a crazy anti-abortion, anti-gay rights guy. How do we make sense of this? Can we make sense of it? We know nothing about it. Let's have an opinion.
If you use the it's the word extreme is tossed around without much care now. If you think it's
everybody's an extremist.
Yes,
yeah.
If you
everybody
think
that I don't
if
agree
you,
with
if
is
you
an
think sodomy's a bad idea, or if you think murder of a baby is a bad idea, you're an extremist.
Yes.
Now this guy may have some extreme views. I don't know. He certainly seems to have a colorful vocabulary.
He has not. He has not refrained from using the full range of his vocabulary either.
Yeah, but it's not extreme to think that killing a baby is a bad idea. That's not extreme.
No,
or that sodomy.
And I think especially not in a somewhere like Argentina. I mean, as secularized as it is, this is a historically Catholic country.
Right.
Right, but that's what these London news editors think, is that if you don't think the way a London news editor thinks about abortion and gay rights, you're an extremist. They have no clue that they are on one extreme end of a continuum that goes.
Oh, by the way, the Guardian.
Not that the British would ever be like guilty of anything like colonialism, but Pope but Francis is... did warn against a sort of ideological colonialism,
right,
where we would just like the wealthy, powerful impose
their views.
Extremely niche, radical views, as if these were the norm that everyone has to accept.
Right.
And they often have it tied to things like foreign aid and funding.
The Guardian... Edgar wants to tell us how to pronounce it. Edgar has finally looked it up and now knows the last name of the new president of Argentina. How do you say
Milei?
Javier Milei. Did I say it right? Milei.
Okay. We're just say it like this part in, so every time you go to say his name, they can just dub over.
like they do on NPR, where you're just talking in your normal American voice, but then when you say the name,
you say
Javier Milei.
I went to Taco Bell to get a burrito.
Wow, you must have really liked that burrito because you gave it a real roll on the R's. Okay, so maybe this guy is an extremist, maybe not, but what were you about to say?
I'm just going to say the Guardian is notorious for its disdain of the Catholic Church among journals, among daily newspapers. They really loathe Catholic Christianity.
I kind of hope this guy is not an extremist, because like when the Australians voted down that thing that none of the Australians understood. They voted no on it because nobody could make sense of what it did.
Oh, the Constitutional Amendment?
Yeah, the Constitutional Amendment. And then it was reported on CNN and all these other brilliant news sites as this racist, anti-Aboriginal thing. It wasn't. People just didn't understand it, so they voted no on it. When the Italians voted in Giorgia Meloni, who seems to be kind of just a normal person with lots of normal foibles, this is the most radical thing that has ever happened.
She likes marriage.
She likes Tolkien.
When the British voted,
she likes Tolkien.
She likes Tolkien. When the British voted no on Europe, this is the most radical, outrageous. Like at a certain point, can you just all stop it? Sometimes people vote for things that you and for people that you don't like. Well, that doesn't make them radical, outlandish fascists. Now maybe this guy Javier Milei, maybe he is a fascist. I honestly don't know. Maybe he is a fascist.
He's a libertarian.
Yeah,
he's a hardcore libertarian.
Yeah.
So he is radical in that sense. But you have to get a little bit of context for the Argentinian political scene.
Yeah.
So two.
Their economy is in free fall.
Totally. There's been an economic crisis since 2018. So prior to that, you had Kirchner, the Peronists. You know, if you've ever seen Evita, Perón's party. This is like a radical kind of socialism, and. Okay, so Kirchner was on trial for treason because she was secretly working with the Iranians after they murdered a bunch of Jews in her country. And an investigative reporter who was going to report on it was found dead the day before his article came out. But she's not radical, though,
because she's left-wing.
No, she's not radical.
That's not radical, because that's left-wing.
She's working with Iran to cover up a terrorist activity.
The Guardian's okay with that.
Yes. So totally out there, totally extreme. Actually radical, actually working with rogue actors globally. But that is just considered mainstream and normal. And by the way, it literally destroyed the Argentinian peso, so that you have over 100% inflation year after year.
Yeah.
The money is worthless now.
But I do think these elections that we're getting, whatever the quality of the candidates, or people are trying to say no to the elites. They're looking for any candidate that will just be like, whatever you're selling, that's the thing I don't want. Like, the, yes. They're trying to tell the Anderson Coopers of the world and the you know, the average political, you know, the Davos types. We don't want what you're selling. And
I don't know if he'll succeed, but I think we should recognize that he is no more radical than the status quo.
Chris Check, Joe Heschmeyer, thank you very much.
Cruise with the Flannel Panel next June, CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
And we'll end it with an ad. Happy Thanksgiving. See you tomorrow, God willing, right here at Catholic Answers Live.